Hey, flight fans. GM as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
My name is Blamed Cat. My pronouns are he, him. I play Rail Bronda, the Mandalorian hired gun. And his pronouns are he, him.
My name is Andrew. My pronouns are he, they. I play Kane Pride, the Mandalorian pilot. And his pronouns are he, him.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode.
A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Welcome back, everybody, to another fun Flight Risk episode. As always, I am your GM, Dwayne. Continuing our Group B stories this year, our one-shots with all of our fabulous guest stars, coming back to fill us in on what they were doing during our skip year in between Volume 1 and Volume 2. In this very episode, we have our favorite flying Mandalorian, Kane, coming back, which means we have Andrew back with us. Andrew, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm happy to be back.
Awesome, sir. All right, so Kane has been given a mission. You guys have been hunting down those Clan Rook, those fake Mandalorians. And this mission's been going on for a few months now. And what is the highlight or the craziest thing that Kane has experienced during these 6 months of hunting down these evil Mandalorians or fake Mandalorians?
Okay. So... to take a moment in case this seems to be cut out, is Rail being here a surprise, or can I talk about that?
You can talk about Rail. It's all good.
Okay, cool.
Yay!
Okay, good. So I think... let's see. The craziest moment, I think, would probably be... When Rail... tried to pass himself off as Bail, and how that horribly, horribly backfired.
I don't know what you're talking about. That always should work. Sorry.
So why was he trying to pass himself as Bail? Were you guys undercover? Were you guys at a bar? What was happening?
Honestly, I think it was just... payback for Bail doing the same thing to Rail many times.
I do love the idea of Rail just setting up bar tabs for Bail throughout the universe when he gets to play. What do you mean I owe 2,000 credits? I just got here.
Exactly.
Payback, baby brother, payback.
And as you can tell, we have the voice of Rail Ronda with us. We have Blamed Cat actually getting to play instead of just voice one of my dozens of characters he voices for me.
Hey guys, how are y'all doing tonight?
All right, so Blamed Cat, since you are new to our listeners and such that you've never played with us before, yes. Let them know who you are online, if they wanted to reach out and talk to you, hang out, see what you do. Who are you? Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, my name is Chris. I just go by Blame Cat on Discord and on Twitter. I think it's also, yeah, I think it is. I mainly hang out on Discord with everybody in various different servers. Usually nicknamed Question Cat over at the Force Majeure podcast because I ask them questions when they have question and answer sessions. Mainly I'm just doing a lot of voiceover and getting some cool little guest spots with you guys. That's my main stuff here.
Awesome. And you are playing Rail Ronda, Bail's, I guess we said it was like his half-brother, his older half-brother.
Cousin something, yes.
Step-brother. I don't know how Mandalorian family dynamics work. They adopt foundlings and, you know, like I always say, I'm Puerto Rican, everyone's my cousin, so it's one of those things. I don't know, brother is everyone's brother type deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the family that you have chosen, you know? That's the way I look at it, so.
That's your real family. I dig you on that one. So, yeah. Same question for you. What is the craziest thing that's happened to Rail in these 6 months or so that you and Kane have been hunting down these fake Mandalorians?
Okay. Well, Rail's going to have to tell the story because Rail likes to spend the yarn. So, we went to this one, you know, really volcanic planet. I can't remember the name of it anymore, but, you know, there were some pirates hiding out in a cave. You know, so we decided to split up and and take them out here. So I climb it up on top, and I'm waiting for, like, the patrols to pass by. I hear some talking. I'm not really paying attention to that part. But then out steps this big old guy. Didn't really have a lot of armor on, but he looked like he was pretty jacked. I could have sworn his name was, like, Gaines or something. He had some kind of weird leather mask on. Well, anyways, I pulled up my vibro knife, and I jumped down to tackle him. And I kind of landed on him like, you know, a toddler does, you know, a regular adult. Like, he didn't budge much. And he, like, caught my vibro knife. And then he, like, flipped me over his back onto the ground and then knocked the wind out of me, you know. And the first thing I hear out of him is, ah, so you think the high ground is your ally? And I'm like, okay, so, you know, forget the, you know, the stealth kill kind of thing. So we start duking it out whatnot. Somewhere along the way, I end up losing my vibro knife and kicks me square in the chest and knocks me down. Starts looming towards me, you know, pulls out his little, his blaster. Yeah, it's kind of small considering how such a big guy he is. But, I don't know if that's a euphemism for anything. But, beside the point, I managed to pull out a, you know, grenade and I tossed it at him. And, well, it missed. Actually, it's what I meant to do. He thought that I missed, so he started laughing at me. Then the grenade blew up near a lava vent and, he got melted to death, and that was actually quite fun to watch. Yeah, that was my best one.
It's nice to hear that the Bronda tradition of throwing grenades it just goes down from brother to brother. It's something he picked up.
Yes, absolutely. It has to. Just as reckless as the other.
All right. Very cool. Let us roll our Destiny dice here to see what our pool is going to be for our fun adventure here.
Roll Destiny, there we go.
Too light. There we go.
All right.
Let's see what I got you back. Oh, okay.
Fine. All right, one dark side. So currently we have three light side and one dark side. Mm-hmm. But listeners of the show know that we are part of the coalition of shows that do the charity run Donate for Destiny, where listeners, fans, friends can donate money to affect the dice pool of our games. And we've had them sporadically on our show. It's a lot. You hear it on Coruscant Night. You hear it on New Republic Radio. I always know. Is it New Republic Radio?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm missing a letter.
Well, it's four letters, but it's like New Republic, so it's NRPR.
New Republic.
Republic.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That like, threw me off, too.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, there's four letters. Why am I only saying three words? Yeah,
I'll have to have words with Joe about that one, because that's his idea.
Yeah. It's probably so people could talk about it. It's one of those things. Also, Force Majeure, Starbirds, a bunch of shows are doing this thing. It's a really great cause. It's for kids that are helping them with their hospital stays, giving them things that they need to feel comfortable, because hospitals can be a scary place for a kid. And it's just basically trying to make their stays more comfortable, more easy for them, because that really helps people heal is when they feel comfortable. So we're very happy to be part of that. And we actually have two donations for this episode, and we're going to play those two donations for this episode. So we are going to play the messages right now.
Ow, my friend Blamecat is playing on Flight Risk tonight, huh? I'll get him.
Thank you, Flight Risk, for participating in Donate for Destiny, and also my good friend Chris and Andrew for playing. I believe that in life and in Star Wars, everyone and every character should have their time to shine. So, with an all light side Destiny pool, and in the words of the immortal Iron Maiden, shine as bright as the sun! May the Force be with you, and may the dice be on your side.
All right, so that first message is from AJ from the Discords. If you're on any of the Discords for the shows we've talked about, you know who AJ is. All right, and we also, since he has donated the full $10, that turns our entire light side, our entire point pool to light side. But we have another message, another donation that might affect our pool.
Oh.
Hello, Squire. It's your favourite little snakey boyfriend, Sneed Manchuripon, coming at you from the darkest depths of Dresselia here with a little bit of a message. I understand that you're going to be up against it tonight. and I've not been able to get you any of my patented Sneed burgers or Sneed wings to keep your old chin up. So here's what I've done instead. It's the next best thing, and it's the best I can manage. I've supercharged your destiny pool. So use them frequently and often, and don't be afraid to ride the consequence speeder. Remember, all the despair is a triumph wearing a slightly different hat. Good luck out there and stay safe. I'll see you when you make it back to Narshadol's Got Talent. Laters, geezer.
All right, and that is from Adam from Force Majeure. And he also donated $10 for a light side pool. And
whoa.
So as Chris and I, we've experienced before, we are actually going to double charge our tokens today. So every flip that you guys make is two upgrades. And so instead of just changing one green to a yellow, it becomes two yellows. But on the flip side, to supercharge it, that means my flips are also doubled. So things can get really great and really bad at the same time. So we're doing a double light side or double destiny pool this episode. So we're going to start with everything being in your guys' favor.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
So
let me thanks, Adam.
Yeah, sure will be.
So we're you got to ride it out. I mean, it's going to be fine. We'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
Yeah.
We're going to be starting with four double light side points today. So this should be exciting. Some awesome stuff could probably happen.
I mean, Andrew, it's okay. I mean, I survived in another campaign with this happening. There wasn't any loss of limbs except for maybe one character. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. It's fine.
It's the Star Wars future pastime where cybernetic limbs are cooler than your regular limbs anyway. So who wouldn't do it? So
very good point.
Tasked with eliminating the false Mandalorians of Clan Rock, Kane Pride and Rael Bronda have spent the last few months traversing the Mandalorian system together. The journey has taken them to Shukut, the eighth planet in their native solar system. Somewhere on one of the 30 moons of this gas giant hides the last remaining squadron of Clan Rock. Like I said, I feel this is very, once I thought about it, this is basically Tombstone, where you guys are hunting down those cowboys, and this is their last stand. These are the last three remaining freighter fighter pilots of Clan Rook, and you've chased them down to one of these moons of Shukut. And Andrew, what is the name of this moon?
Since
they don't have any name, no, I didn't see any names in Wikipedia, so we're going to make them up. So, give me a name of the moon.
Oh, cool. While I am definitely not looking up a list of Star Wars planet names. Yes, so name of moon. I think that since we are in the Mandalore system, I think that this one is just going to be like, I don't know, Mandalore 5, but everyone just calls it Mandy for short.
All right, I dig it. Mandalore 5, maybe it was the fifth moon that was inhabited by Mandalorians as they were exploring this system, because it's a gas giant, so maybe it was, we'll say it was the fifth moon that was settled by the Mandalorians. Why not? We're making up canon as we go.
And then everyone just likes to call it Mandy for short.
Exactly.
To not confuse it with all the other Mandalores.
Yeah, the other four Mandalores that came before. They all have different
names. The one before it is Manda 4. And then then I ran out of jokes.
And then three Mandalores and like free Mandalores.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna basically start in the middle of the action here. The your duo here has been exploring this moon of Mandy, and you guys have come across stealthily what looks to be a holdout of these three remaining fighter, I'd say fighter pilots sounds so wrong, what would they be called?
Star pilots?
I
don't know.
For me, fighter pilots makes them seem like they're flying planes. They're not, but I know they're star fighters.
Yeah, true. You know.
It's me not liking the verbiage that they use in these games. So these star pilots are there, and you can hear a radio conversation that one of them is having. So you hear one side of a conversation as someone's clearly talking on a communicator, and you just hear a frustrated and maybe a panicked voice, and It's just,
I don't care what you're saying. We agree to whatever you want. We need to get out of this system, okay? The two of these guys are insane. They're not letting us go, okay? We radioed them. We offered surrender. They're not taking us. I don't care. I'm fine, whatever. We'll join the Sith. It's fine. Just get me in contact with the Moff. He knows me. Look, man, he knows me. I've worked for him before. I'm good. I'm a good. We're good pilots, okay? You can use us.
And as both of you know in this system, that the Moff they're talking about is Grand Moff Vikan. He is a prominent feature. He was the one who led the charge actually against Mandalore at the beginning. So these scavengers here are trying to get back with the Mandalorian force that Kane and Bail and Dork helped push back those six months ago. They're trying to make contact to get the heck out of here because Clan Rock is essentially no more except for these last three. So you guys see, three starfighters kind of banged up. They've been on the run. They haven't had time to do any repairs. There's probably still damage from the actual battle on Mandalore. And they are just, the conversation has ended and they're just talking amongst themselves. You just hear the murmurs of just the frustration and they're looking around and they're just angry, frustrated guys trying to figure out their next move. You guys are, we'll say maybe about 50, 60 yards away, and you guys have some rock cover. This is a rocky moon. It's not really completely civilized. We're imagining kind of like a Montana, if you are from the States, that kind of vibe, kind of open, grassy and rocky area. These guys have found a nice place to plant their ships, and they're just kind of figuring out their next move. You guys have some small coverage, but you can see them a little bit in the distance.
So definitely a Tombstone vibe you've got going on here in that regard.
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm going to ask Rael, so how far do you think you can throw?
How far do you think I can throw? Do you know the legends? I'll be fine. I can throw up to medium range. I can throw a really long way. I mean, it's a lot better than, you know, most people can do with a, you know, with, well, what are we throwing anyways? What do you want to throw?
You're related to Bail, so I just sort of assume that you have thermal detonators just lying around.
Thermal detonators? Yeah, I think I might have one on me. I don't know if I left it back at the ship. Hang on a second.
Do you think you could throw it all the way to them?
Well, let's see. How far away are they, Dwayne?
About 50 yards, so that 50, 60 yards, so that's 150, 160 feet. Basically, home plate to second base on a baseball field.
Yeah, I think I can make that. And, oh, look, I just happened to find a thermal detonator. I got one on me. I think I can make this work.
Guys are terrible. this whole adventure
said I had equipment. You didn't give me equipment.
And you know what? And logistically, I can imagine that in the celebratory, either Bail would happily have given you one of his extra grenades, or you would have went by a drunk Bail later and borrowed one from him later. So Rael having one is not completely unbelievable to me. So yeah,
I just assume that Bail like spawns them. Like they just appear around him.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. He just goes to sleep in the morning, wakes up in the morning with two extra in his inventory. You know,
that's how yeah.
That's a lot of XP you had to spend for that skill.
Well, that's one of those. That's one of those. What are they called? Like the ones you get at the end of your class.
Oh, the legendary class.
Yeah, or it's like one of those. It's just called infinite grenades, you know, or something along those lines.
But sure, we'll let you do this.
Okay, so in that case, what is the difficulty we're looking at for a throw here?
Medium range will be, what is that, two purple? Purples,
right? Yeah,
yeah, I think it's like
throw
two.
Them at medium range. There won't be a penalty for that.
There won't be a penalty.
Yeah, because he's got long, what is it called? Strong arm. Treats thrown weapons as if they had one greater range.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So, medium range. I'm trying to think if there'd be any setbacks for you. No, not that. I can think of the top of my head. Yeah, just we'll just do two purple. This is going to be a really quick adventure. You're going to throw a grenade. It's going to blow up, and we're going to wrap it up in 7 minutes. Nice.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so in that case, it'll be 3 yellows and 1 green. Base roll. He's going to go ahead and, you know, just because Bell just tosses things randomly doesn't mean that, you know, he's not going to take a moment to aim, in this case, true aim, which grants him the benefits of aiming and also upgrades his combat check.
Very cool. By one.
So that will now be 4 yellows against 2 purples, and you can't flip because they're all light side right now.
All right, what kind of crazy roll are we going to get here?
I'm feeling like three triumphs, you blow up half the moon, something like that.
It's going to be 3 triumphs and a failure.
Well,
okay.
There's 3 successes and 3 advantages. Does that work for you?
I believe 3 advantages counts as a triumph.
Yeah, that would be definitely enough to get it to explode.
Well, I know blast would get triggered with 2 advantages.
Yeah.
So at the least I can do that. And I know thermal detonators are pretty nasty in that regard, right?
Yeah. It. So, yeah, I would say that at least one of the guys who was closest to it is just gone. He was there a second ago, and the other two guys are blasted backwards. And we're just going to say that they are knocked prone by this explosion. So, yes, they have 2 guys who are just knocked to the ground, and they are crawling around, ears ringing, and, yeah, mass confusion right now happening in front of them.
So Rail looks over at Kane and he smiles, but you can't see it because we got helmets on. And he just kind of gestures to him like, after you.
Good work. And then I'm just going to... Are we up on like a hill or something? Or are we just...
You can be a little sort
of... You may have made one.
Yeah. they're lowered now because there's less ground below them. I don't know if it's a hill. There's a divot for certain. But yeah, you guys can be a little bit elevated. Sure.
Yeah, because I was wondering if I was just going to be running forward or if I was going to, like, slide down a hill or something. Or
yeah, I'd say this is a slight incline.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to book it a little bit closer.
Okay.
And then shoot at him with me gun.
You do remember that you got the new gun at the end of the last adventure, right?
Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Okay, so that was a slug thrower, right?
That was a blaster.
Oh, you got a proto blaster.
Yeah. Remember that? That was in the box that Bale didn't want to open.
Yes. Yes, so I will do a hit. So, let me see what I'm rolling now, because you gave me like 200 experience.
I did give you, well, I mean, yeah. You probably should have had you should have had probably more experience during the story that I realized I probably didn't give you the right amount at the beginning. When I realized how the number we were at the end, I think I shorted you at least like 100 XP that you should have had at the beginning of the story.
Yeah, because I was playing, I was like, wow, everyone is much better. Like when I was playing the side characters, like their stats were like twice as good as mine.
Yeah, I think what I did was that I gave you the XP total that they were at the previous season, like. Like,
yeah,
10 episodes before that, because we do about 5 XP an episode, which because we get 10 XP a session. So, yeah, you were probably like a year behind where you should have been.
And that was jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Kane learned a lot. He got a lot better from this war. He grew, okay? It was a learning just experience infinitely. For him.
Yeah, I was able to add 1 to every stat except presence.
That's sweet.
And also made it so that I get 3 yellows in every planetary piloting.
Right. Wow. That's going to be fun.
Plus minus 2 blacks.
Ooh, very nice.
Okay. So what is the difficulty? I think if I'm running closer, I feel like I would be closer to short range. So that would just be 1 purple.
Yeah, because you were starting for medium. If you're using your movement to get closer, that'd be 1 purple yes. against whatever you're shooting. I'm going to give you a blue because they are... basically had their head rung by an explosion yep. and seeing one of their friends turn to pink mist in front of them.
All right. So I'm so scared I'm gonna mess this roll up somehow.
You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine.
Five successes.
There we go. Told you.
All right. So
no
how do
bonuses?
How do you kill this guy?
What is this guy's armor situation like?
He's wearing that basically what looks like would be like how you guys are wearing Mandalorian armor. He's wearing cosplay Mandalorian armor. So it looks really good, but it's probably like PVC pipe.
Oh, so he's a Mandalorian. Okay.
Exactly.
Perfect. So I'm just gonna be very close and then just kind of take aim, and then I'm just gonna let out a string of shots until I am sure that this guy is a gone.
All right. I was gonna say, this is the first time someone's used a blaster on our show. I didn't know if you were shooting to kill or shooting to stun, but apparently you're shooting to kill. Good to know.
Oh no, I'm shooting to kill.
All
These
right.
people honestly are... add stun to your first thing. I mean, come on, that comes later.
You know what?
They're
I don't
the
know.
Fake
guy
hedgehogs around here.
The guy who made the blasters, guy from Narc, I don't even know if he'd give them a stun setting. He doesn't seem to be the type. So
exactly my point. Exactly my point. I mean, if anything, it'd be painless or more pain. You know?
Exactly.
I
mean, yeah.
With that guy.
Exactly. Do you want an electric burn or a fire burn? How do you want this to feel?
Oh, gosh. Oh, both of them. No. No.
Ooh. All right, so yeah, you just come sliding down this hill and just let a barrage of shots into this guy as he's scrambling backwards, and you just pelt him, just some chest shots and maybe even one just right through the head, and boom, he just slumps to the ground. And then the last remaining guy just starts begging for his life. He's just kind of just scurrying away. He's trying to get his vision to come back, his hearing to come back.
Hey, look, matey, I was just following orders. This wasn't what I wanted. Arr, please, my boy. I don't want to die on Mandy.
Let's see. So where is... Where's Rail? Is Rail coming up behind me?
Oh, yeah. He's coming up behind me.
Yeah. So...
What's this one begging about now?
It says just following orders and doesn't want to die on Mandy.
Well, maybe he should have thought differently about actually hiding out on Mandy.
That is a fair point. Well, if we give you a bit of a head start, you can get to your ship, and then you won't have to die on Mandy. You can die above Mandy.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I don't mean to be rude, but the gravitational pull of my ship would probably pull me back into Mandy, and I'd still crash, and I'd still die on Mandy. I still kind of don't want to do that. You know.
Well, you wouldn't die on Mandy. You would be dead on Mandy. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't actively die on Mandy.
You know, I want to... thank you. I wasn't the best student of language. All those R's and I's and D's and vowels. I was probably using the wrong tense. I was using the wrong tense there. I know. You make an excellent point. But before I die here or in the sky above, how about we strike up a deal? A deal between us. I can give you information. I know something you want to know.
All right.
So, just to clarify, I'm not giving you information without a bargain being struck. I don't want to be this whole dying thing.
Rail's gonna step up.
You guys. Here. Let me just take off this Mandy armor. I don't need any of this. I don't even want to be a part of this.
I just want to be flying me ship and fly on out of here, far, far away from here. And I'll never come back to this system, this Mandy system. You have me word.
Did you have to go to Commando? I mean, seriously,
I mean, come on.
Oh, they don't pay me enough. It gets awfully sweaty in this thing. But I got lots of powder for me, my bits. Yep, thank you very much. Yep, zero cheap.
Real turns to Kane.
So, hey there, matey. Me eyes are up here. Yar. Yar.
What do you want to do? I mean, this is pretty pathetic.
I think I will. I think I'll put my blaster away for now. And just say,
well, talk.
Are you going to let me go?
Well, it depends on what the information is. I mean, if you're just going to give us the middle name of the moth, then that's not going to be good enough information.
I know where the Grand Moff's private ship be.
Okay, that is handy.
You see, the Sith have been trying out to upgrade them forces lately, and everything that goes with it. And that them there Grand Moff is actually out here doing a test run on a new fighter they're developing. That's who I was trying to contact. For hopes that maybe he could come aid me and fly me back with, and maybe y'all wouldn't be killing me. But, he's out here, and he has a new ship. I mean, maybe y'all may be able to slow him down, or at least see what this new ship is. The rumor has it, it's unlike anything we've seen before. This really could change this war. Maybe change the tide of war that's coming between them and them Jedi.
Interesting. Thank you for this information.
Yeah. Appreciate it. What's your name?
See, I thought you were going to kill all these guys.
Arr, matey. My name's Bulk. Captain Bulk.
Well, I appreciate it, Bulk. So we just want to leave him here? Or what are we going to do?
All right, mateys. I just want to get up in me ship and sail. That's all I want. And look, I has me extra pair of pantalones on me ship. and I'll go put on me ship, on my pants and me ship. And I'll fly on way out of here. You has my word.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. Okay. So here be the coordinates that we... Here be the coordinates of my newly departed shipmate and friend. We found out where Grand Moff was going to be test flying his new ship. Yep. No one flies out this far anymore. There'd just be nothing but rock and gas giants. No one lives on Mandy anymore. Maybe he was just out here flying under the radar. But he's out here. We made contact with his team a few hours ago. That was the last contact we had with him and his team. Yep, they'd be testing that new flyer. Hey, you know, this information should help them Jedi or whomever. If you see them, maybe you or whoever should kill them, right? Right?
Interesting. Well, thank you for this information. Good luck.
Yar, many thanks. And remember, that's Bulk. Captain Bulk.
Turns and you just see pale butt cheeks running back towards the ship.
I think I'm gonna turn to Rael and be like,
well, should we shoot him anyway or should we let him go?
You know, hang on a second. Hey! You! I already forgot your name!
Does he keep running or does he stop?
Well, he stops and turns around. Bulk! Captain Bulk!
Was there something else you needed, my boy?
Just letting you know, we're going to be monitoring communications.
If you send off an SOS, we're going to blow you out of the sky there. Just letting you know.
That thought hadn't even crossed my mind. No communications. You won't be hearing from me. You have me word. No communications. But I do have a question for you. Can I put on me pantalones? It's getting a little bit frigid here. And me hook is, well, let's just say I'd like to put my pantalones on. So what I'm asking is, permission to put on the pantalones? Is that okay?
Yeah, you can put on pants. Go on.
Yar. And then he'll just go run up the little deck of one of the ships, and whatever long it takes someone to put on pants and start a ship, that's how long it takes him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that one starfighter just lifts off, and he just takes off in his own direction. So you have the pink dust of one dead fake Mandalorian, one shot dead Mandalorian, and two starfighters kind of just sitting here, and the coordinates of where some experimental Sith fighters are being flown.
Well, I'd like a point of contention here. They are not Mandalorians. They are Fandalorians. So one pink mist Fandalorian, one dead Fandalorian, and then one.
Yes. Yes.
Just one, making sure we're clear here.
One naked Fandalorian. Gotcha.
Naked, yes. Fandalorian. So he turns to Kane. You know, I mean, at the least, if he actually listens, then maybe he'll survive to the next spaceport. And if not, then at least we'll be able to draw everyone out and take care of them pretty quickly.
Sounds good.
All right, so are the two of you heading back to the messenger and going to head to those coordinates? Or are you calling it a day? What is it? What is your plan?
I think we can head on over unless you want to take yet a day.
No, I think we should keep going. I mean, the sooner we check this stuff out, the sooner we can get done and get back and drink some proper ale.
Sounds good.
So the two starfighters that are left on this planet, are you leaving them as is? Are you going to blow them up from orbit? Or
what do we normally do, Kane?
What have you guys been doing with all the Fandalorian ships that you guys have done? Have you been blowing them up? Have you been calling someone in Clan Ordaïs to basically come and repo them? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I think repoing them is probably a good idea, just so that, you know, we have more and
they at have least less. For parts. Yeah.
Yeah, my second idea was go in there, take whatever important part is small and the ship can't function without, and then leave. Mm-hmm. But having somebody repo them will be much better in the long run, I think.
Sure, yeah. You guys each pull out a small little disc from your pockets. They're magnetic. You fling them at the ship. Right when they connect, they start to light and a small little beeping sound that's going to radio someone from Odias who's flying around in a freighter who maybe that's their job. They collect scraps from battles or whatever, and they know that these last few months you've been giving them good leads, so they're going to come over, pick up the ship, and you guys are getting a
pretty solid work.
I mean, you would think with all the battles Mandalorians, there has to be not like scavengers, but people who collect and repurpose.
Oh, absolutely. Things. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like the World War II war effort, you know, I mean, with the whole collect your scrap, we need this for, you know, for exactly. Shells. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So you guys are getting a nice little commission, a finder's fee for every ship you get. And the intact ships, you guys get more. The blown up ships, you get less for it. But so you got two intact ships. So this is a good little payday for the two of you guys to split when you guys get back home. It'll be a nice little stack of credits for you guys. I don't know if you get actual credits or just, you know, drink tokens at the bar, something like that. Who knows?
Well, I always get
Yeah, it's just like a Chuck E. Cheese thing. They don't ever really give you real money. It's just tokens for more games or drinks.
It'll beat somebody in a fist fight they have to hand over to
you. Exactly. The Mando bucks, that's what they use. It's not real money. So those things are going to be picked up maybe in the next day or two by the scavenger that's out there. And you guys get in the messenger, and we haven't seen the messenger in a while, Andrew. It's been 6 months of flying in battle. How's the messenger looking?
Honestly, I would say pretty much about the same. I take good care of my ship because it is my one ship. I would say it's in pretty good condition. It's about the same. Inside has taken on more of a... it's more livable, I would say, because we've been in it a lot, traversing around, hunting down these people, so less cargo space, or like the cargo space has been replaced with, or not replaced with, but there's more like cots and stuff, and zones to live in, so that we can just keep on chugging.
Alright, very cool.
So we're both not sleeping in the cockpit while we're trying to fly or pilot somewhere.
All right, so yeah, you guys get back on the messenger. You plug in the coordinates that that Bok gave you before he ran off. And you see that it is really not even a hyperdrive jump away. It is relatively close to where you are. It's going to be at one of the outer moons. If Mandy, we'll say, is the fifth moon, this is probably maybe around Mandy 26 or something. It's going to be kind of farther out of the moons of Sukkot. Since this is the farthest point of the Mandalorian system, it kind of makes sense that they're hiding out here since this is where they just were. So you guys realize in probably a few hours of flying, you could be at where they were least last spotted. So as this flight goes, you guys, I don't know, snack on whatever you snack on. Read whatever you read. I don't know if you read whatever.
Definitely taking off a helmet.
Mandalorian Digest or whatever you guys read in the
in-between. Mandalorian time. Monthly. Yeah, there you go.
I imagine it's like a guns and ammo type magazine.
Yes, there has to be. There has to be.
The Mando of the Month thing, you know, that kind of thing. The Mando of the Month centerfold.
Yeah.
It's just a very big gun.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not going to be like some bikini clad Mandalorian. That they're not sexist like that.
I think it would be very funny if it was a centerfold, but it's just a Mandalorian lady in full Mandalorian
armor. Oh no!
That's
yeah.
I was thinking. Yes,
oh yeah. It's going to be who's ever wearing the most stylish designed armor or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what the Mandalorians respect is well crafted armor.
Mm-hmm. And we totally read these just for the articles.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.